All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 1. And I want to bring your attention to verse number 15. Verse number 15 in Acts 1 says this, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples." I want you to make note of that phrase there, "in the midst of the disciples," and said, the number of the names together were about 120. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he kind of created a little bit of a revolution. Jesus did not come to bring a new religion or to bring a new type, you know, of church that was already established. He came for one reason, and that was to develop disciples. And this is a common theme that we talk about at Verity Baptist Church, because Jesus came to develop disciples, to create disciples. He didn't just want to get people saved. He wanted people to become followers of him. In verse 15, we read the passage. You notice that earlier in the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended. And when he left, the Bible says that there was about 120 disciples that were there basically at the time of Christ leaving. If you look at verse 41 of the second chapter, you will notice that the early church began to do the exact same thing that Christ did, which was to develop disciples, was to multiply disciples. Look at verse 41, Acts 2:41, the Bible says this, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So they got busy reaching people and doing the same thing that Christ did. I want to show you throughout the book of Acts, which is, gives us the history of the early church. You'll notice that this is a theme that goes through the book. Go to Acts chapter number 6, just real quickly. Look at verse 1. Just flip a few pages over to Acts chapter 6. These are familiar verses to some of you. We'll just look at them quickly. Acts chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And in those days," notice what it says, "when the number of the disciples was multiplied." When the number of the disciples was multiplied. Skip down to verse number 7, same chapter. Verse number 7 of chapter 6. Notice what it says. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied." And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus came to create disciples. Like I said, I know we talk about this a lot. I think we just preached an 8-week series on the subject of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what he came to do. And then the early church, after his ascension, they continued on that ministry and they developed disciples. They multiplied disciples. They reached more people. Now here's what you got to understand. Since then, and more recently in our history, there has been a new revolution of churches, which has not helped. Today, there are many churches out there that are more interested in increasing their attendances and more interested in increasing their numbers than they are in developing disciples. And here's what you got to understand. Today, because of influences like Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and Bill Hybels, we have what are called seeker-sensitive churches. And these are churches that are meant to be attractive to people that are not, you know, saved, that are not following Jesus, that are not a disciple. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, they'll say, "Why do you guys sing those old hymns?" And they'll say, you know, there's other music you can sing out there. But here's what you got to understand. The movement of churches today that you walk in and it feels like a rock concert, you know what I mean? The lights are dim, there's a spotlight, you know, there's a band up there. The type of movement of Christianity today where you don't read a lot of Bible, maybe you get 2 or 3 verses and then somebody just gets up there and gives you their thoughts and it's a lot of, you know, type of therapy type preaching. You've got to understand, that type of movement was created to seek people who they wanted to attract to Christianity. But here's what you got to understand. Jesus did not come to try to make himself like the world in order to reach the world. In fact, Jesus came to do the opposite. He tried to reach people and get them to change to be like him. The purpose of Christianity is to be more and more like Christ every day. So at Verity Baptist Church, I want you to understand, we have the same agenda. Our agenda is not to be seeker sensitive. Our agenda is to be Savior sensitive. Our agenda is not to try to, you know, just, we're going to take a survey and ask you what kind of music do you like. And some of you are going to say, "Well, I like country music." So then next week we'll have country Christian music. You know, and some of you will say, "Well, I like rap music." So then next week we'll have Christian rap music. You know, and some of you will say, "Well, I don't like a whole lot of preaching," or, you know, "I don't like the pulpit." So we're going to get rid of the pulpit and put a stool down. And I don't, you know, "I don't like the old hymn." So we're going to get contemporary Christian. You got to understand, that's not the goal at Verity Baptist Church. The goal is to reach people and develop them to be disciples, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more interested in pleasing Christ than pleasing you. Now, we love you, and we're here for you, and we want to help you, but we are here to develop disciples. You say, well, why are you talking about this? Because in order to help you develop into a disciple, we need you to kind of stick around. We need you to, the biblical word is continue. I want to just show you this in the book of Acts. Let's look at it quickly. Can you get back to Acts chapter 1? Look at verse 14. You'll notice a theme throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, these all, and I want you to make note of this word, continued with one accord. These all continued with one accord. Go to Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Notice what the Bible says, Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly. Do you see that? And they continued steadfastly. Go down to verse 46, same chapter. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. The Bible says this. And they continued daily with one accord. And they continued daily with one accord. You got to understand this. The process of becoming a disciple is a continuous type of process. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't come to church once or twice and then you just, my life is transformed, my marriage is better, my finances are, you know, are in check, I have a better temperament, I've got self-control, I was able to get victory over the bondage that I was in. It doesn't work that way. When you decide to be a disciple, when you decide to be a follower, you make a lifelong commitment. And the biblical word is you continue. You stick around. You last for a while. And this morning, I want to just take this Sunday. We're kind of in between series. You know, we've got a brand new series coming up called Rise and Build. And it's all about how to help you make an impact with your life and how to help you make a difference with your life. You don't want to get to the end of your life and, you know, you have it said that you just kind of went to work and you had a family, you lived, but you didn't really do anything with your life. You want your life to make a difference, and we want you to be here for that series. I think it's going to be very helpful to you. Next week is Father's Day. We'll be preaching on Father's Day. But I want to take this Sunday and just kind of talk to our church family. And what that means is if you're a guest with us this morning, you're in a guilt-free zone, okay? I'm not really preaching at you or speaking to you. We're glad you're here. You're kind of just coming into a discussion. You know, we're having a little bit of a family meeting, all right? We're just kind of talking to the church family. You get to peek behind the curtain and kind of see how our church grows. Just to give you a little bit of our history, our church started just a little bit over 4 years ago. We started in our living room. My wife and I started the church in the living room, and we had a handful of people. And over the last 4 years, God has grown us, and God has helped us to reach more people, increase more people. And our goal is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see them baptized and to see their lives transformed, to see their lives changed, not to become more like them, but that they would become and that we would become more like Jesus Christ. But here's what you got to understand. If we are going to continue to do what we do, because you got to understand this, and maybe some of you don't know this, and I want to explain it to you this morning. Our church is extremely different. In fact, our church is a dying breed. There are not a lot of churches like Verity Baptist Church. Now, there are some good churches out there. And there are some more churches being started and some young men being trained that are not interested in money, not interested in fame, not interested in being the next, you know, televangelist and the next famous, you know, preacher on TV, but that are interested. We are interested in teaching and preaching the Word of God. We are interested in pleasing God. But here's what you got to understand. If we're going to continue this, we need you to continue. We need you to get engaged. We need you to kind of interlock and join, you know, forces with us and help us as we seek to reach more people. So this morning, I want to give you just a real basic outline. It's not going to be anything new this morning, but I want to encourage you just in five different areas. And like I said, I'm talking to our church family primarily. If you say this is Verity Baptist Church is my home, Pastor Jimenez is my pastor, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you five areas that you can engage in, if you're not engaged in already, that can help us develop more disciples, reach more disciples, and help you develop into a disciple. You're there in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11, and look at verse number 26. Acts chapter number 11 and verse 26. The sermon this morning may be a little different than what you're used to on a Sunday morning. That's okay. We preach all sorts of different types of sermons. 11:26, Acts chapter number 11, and look at verse number 26. The Bible says this, and when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass, and he's talking about bringing Saul into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they, and I want you to notice this phrase, they assembled themselves with the church. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And notice this word, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now here's what I want you to understand, okay? A church is an assembly. The word church means congregation. A church is not a building. A church is not walls and a roof and chairs and a platform. A church is a group of believers congregating together, assembling together. And you've got to understand, God is the one and Jesus is the one who instituted the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, the Bible says that he gave himself for the church. He established the church. He is the head of the church. But God instituted this idea of believers coming together. And notice what it says, Acts 11:26. They assembled themselves with the church. So number one, for those of you that are taking notes, if you'd like to take notes, I want to encourage you to get engaged through church attendance. Get engaged through church attendance. And here's what you got to understand. When they assembled themselves with the church, the King James Bible, the Holy Word of God, is inspired and preserved. There's nothing in Scripture that is in there by mistake or coincidence. Everything that's in there is in there for a reason. I want you to notice, it makes a reference to the fact that they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians. I want you to notice this. The term Christian did not come from Christians. Christians did not call themselves Christians. In the Bible, Christians would often refer to themselves as believers or as brothers or as brethren. The term Christian came from the world. The outside world look at this church in Antioch that was assembling themselves together and teaching much people for about a year. They looked at these people and they said, there's something different about these people. They're not like the rest of us. They're loving one another, and they're, you know, praying for one another, and they're doing all sorts of those type of one another things that Jesus taught us, and they're different. You know what they remind me of? They kind of remind me, remember that guy, Jesus Christ? Those people, they're kind of like Christians. They're kind of like Christ. They're disciples, they're followers. But you got to understand, this idea of living a life that is different came about as a result of them being taught the Scriptures, which came as a result of them assembling themselves with the church. See, the more you get taught, the more Bible you learn, and the more you apply it in your life, the more you will be like Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews, if you go towards the end of the New Testament, and this is a well-known verse, Hebrews chapter 10, towards the end of the New Testament, you got the book of Revelation. Right before Revelation, you got Jude. Before Jude, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, and then you got the book of Hebrews, all right? Right before James, you got Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. People will often say to me as we as they walk out the door, and I appreciate the encouragement. I'm thankful for those of you that say it. But people often say to me things like, man, I learned so much at Verity Baptist Church. Every time I come here, I come here every Sunday morning, and every time I get here, I just learn the Bible. And I've been to other churches, and, they had a rock concert for like an hour and a half, and then the guy stood up for 20 minutes, and he kind of taught things, but it wasn't really from the Bible. He used a verse, but then he kind of just said a lot of things. I'm not really sure where he was getting all that from. And people will often say, and I appreciate the encouragement, I appreciate the compliment. People will say, I've never learned so much Bible as I have in Verity Baptist Church, at Verity Baptist Church, coming to church on Sunday mornings. But here's the interesting thing. And here's what I want you to think about. If you come to church on Sunday mornings and you learn a lot, don't you think you would learn a lot more if you came to Sunday night? Don't you think you'd learn a lot more if you came? Guess what? Every single one of the services, we're opening up the Bible. Every single one of the services, we're teaching. We're instructing. We're helping you grow. We're helping you learn. And there are people that come to our church all three services, and I'm here to tell you, they're going to grow probably three times as much. They're going to have three times as knowledge. They're going to be encouraged to learn the Word of God a lot more the more they assemble themselves in the house of God. Now, people will say to me, you guys have three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You really expect people to come to all three services? Now, here's the thing. You can come as much as you want or as little as you want. It doesn't bother us. But, we have a group of, 50 to 60 people that do come to all three services. I mean, regularly, consistently come to all three services. And people say, well, that's a lot. In the early church, I mean, there are scriptures that make it seem like they were meeting every day. Because here's what you got to understand. When you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, not a fan, not someone who shows up on Sunday morning, checks off their little, you know, to-do list, went to church, but someone who says, my life revolves around Christ. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Hey, coming to church three times a day, it's no big deal. I remember when we were growing up, every time the church doors were open, we were in church. They had a revival meeting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We were there. Missions come. We were there. Why? Because we wanted to be like Christ. Because here's the thing. The more you're in church, the more you will learn, the more you will grow, the more you will be a disciple. And you say, well, I don't know about all that. Here's what you understand. And I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm pulling up the curtain and I'm letting you know, here's our agenda. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's why we exist. We are trying to develop you into a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just came to church because I kind of just felt that I needed to go to church somewhere. And you know, I was hoping that it'd be something I like. That we love you and we're here for you, but we might not be the church for you. Because this church has an agenda to make you more like Christ next year than you are this year. And 5 years from now, our goal is that your family would look at you and say, I don't know what happened to you, but you are different. I mean, I used to be able to push your buttons and you would blow up. Now you turn the other cheek. Where do you get that from? Now you've got patience and long-suffering. Now you're gentle. You've got goodness. Man, it's like you've got the fruit of something. They don't know that you've got the fruit of the Spirit. They don't know that you're walking in the Spirit. They're not really sure, but they're saying, you're not like you. You're more like, I'm not sure, maybe Christ. And that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Now, here's what you got to understand. Some people have developed a habit of missing church. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 10? Look at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says this, not forsaking. He's telling you, I don't want you to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now remember, assembly, that's a church. When Christians assemble, when they congregate, that's the church. That's what a church does. We assemble. And here's what Hebrews teaches, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now notice this, as the manner of some is. Some people have a manner, a custom, a habit of forsaking the assembling. And here's what, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, I'm just trying to help you understand something. People come to this church and they say, you know, I came to church because my marriage is falling apart, my finances are falling apart, my children hate me, you know, I just have all these issues, I have all these problems. And then they come to church and it's like, you know, 6 months later, they're like, I don't understand why everything's the same. It's like you've only showed up three times in the last 6 months. I mean, it's not like a magic box. It's not like you walk in here and all of a sudden, you know, we put a spell on you and now you're great. As you come to church, you learn from the Word of God and you begin to change and you begin to apply. But the more you're in church, the better and more like Christ you'll be. And if your goal is to be like Christ, then I would encourage you to engage yourself through church attendance. Be consistent. To the services. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, I kind of am a regular attender. I come every once in a while. I'm not really here every Sunday. Hey, I would encourage you to make a decision to say, I will be in church every Sunday morning. I will be in church unless I am just, you know, sick in the hospital. And I'm not talking about sick like some of you guys get sick where it's like you're tired and you think that's sick, okay? I'm talking about like you're legitimately sick where a doctor would look at you and say, yes, you are sick, all right? You know, and you ought to make that, you know, isn't God worth one service a week to come fellowship with God, to come spend time with God? I mean, is that too much to ask to say, you know, once a week I will commit to be in church, to be in the house of God, to begin to grow and develop as a disciple? Maybe you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I've been coming to church, you know, once a week pretty regularly for some time. I want to encourage you. Why don't you take another step? Why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to an evening service? Why don't you come to church on a Wednesday night? Why don't you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to Wednesday night Bible study, and I'm going to learn the book of James, and I'm going to learn, you know, the different books of the Bible that they're preaching through and teaching verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And look, even the liberal church, you say, well, I don't know, I kind of like the liberal church where they don't really tell me what to do, and I just kind of come, and they pat me on the back, and they tell me I'm doing good. But here, even the liberal church says, hey, come to a small group on Wednesday night. Why don't you come to church on Wednesday night? Why don't you get the Bible preached on Wednesday night? Why don't you come back on a Sunday night? Maybe you say, well, I come on Wednesday. Hey, come on Sunday night. I'm just trying to help you to take that step to say, if I'm not consistent to church, I'm going to make a decision today. I will be consistent to church. Maybe you say, I am consistent to church, but I've never came to an evening service, or I used to come to the evening. Hey, why don't you come? You say, well, why would I come? Because we've got an agenda. I'm not even hiding it from you. I'm trying to tell you, our agenda is to save your marriage, to save your friendships, to save, just the destruction in your life by causing you to be more like Jesus Christ. And it happens when a church assembles together, when the Word of God is taught, when people apply it, begin to change their life, and then people around them say, man, those guys, they're kind of like Christians. They're kind of like Christ. They're kind of like that Jesus guy. And it begins to infiltrate and change your life. So number one this morning, I want to encourage you to get engaged through church attendance. Be faithful to church. Decide, I'm not going to skip out on church. I'm going to make church a priority. You know, there's things I can do on a Sunday. Well, you know, decide. I don't know if you know this, but there's six other days in the week. You know, you understand? You can go golfing another day. I'm pretty sure you know the parks and the recreational. You can take your boat to the lake on a Friday. I'm pretty sure. I don't think they say you only got to go on Sunday. All right? So I want to encourage you this morning to be faithful in your church attendance. Number two, I want to encourage you to engage through soul winning. Go to the book of Philippians. Philippians, if you start at Matthew, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians, chapter number 1. Philippians, chapter 1. While you turn there, let me read for you a very famous verse. Mark 16:15 says this, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus left us a mission to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the first step at developing disciples is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Verity Baptist Church, we have a ministry called Soul Winning, where we go out into the community and we knock on doors. We invite people to church. We don't harass people. We don't yell at people. We don't stick our foot in the door and make them talk to us for an hour, okay? We just invite people to church. If they're not interested, that's fine. We move on. But if someone is interested, someone says, I'm interested, if they want to know how they can, you know for sure they're on their way to heaven, we'll explain to them the gospel. We'll give them an opportunity to be saved. You say, why do you do that? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus went around and preached. Jesus is the one who taught to go two by two. He's the one who taught to go from house to house. And I want you to understand something, all right? Are you there in Philippians chapter 1? Look at verse 4. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with you, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. Do you see that? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to explain something to you. The strongest fellowships, the strongest friendships in our church are usually developed between our soul winners. Because when you get out there and you're, you know, knocking doors with someone, you're with someone for 2 hours on a Saturday morning and you're knocking doors and you're fellowshipping, and next week you go with someone else from the church, and next week you go with someone else from the church. I don't remember the bulletin. What's the bulletin say? Last week we had 23 adults out soul winning. 15 kids were out soul winning yesterday this last week with their parents. And when your kids are out there playing together and you're out there, you know, a couple's with another couple and a man with another man, a lady with another lady, and you're knocking doors, you're inviting people to church, you're preaching the gospel, but you're fellowshipping, you're talking, hey, you begin to develop relationships, and some of the strongest relationships that you can develop is through our soul winning ministry. That's why he says, hey, the fellowship of the gospel. He said, there's a fellowship and a friendship that is developed there. So I want to encourage you, hey, get involved in soul winning. And by the way, soul winning will be the greatest thing to help you grow. Because you know what happens when you get out soul winning? Here's what happens when you get out soul winning. Everybody says the same thing. People say to me, I don't want to go soul winning because I'm afraid that somebody's going to ask me a question. I don't know. But when you finally go out soul winning and somebody does ask you a question and you don't know, guess what you do? You go back home and read your Bible and try to figure out what the answer to that question is. And all of a sudden, you're really interested in what the Bible says. Well, how do I answer that question? And how do I get that answer? How do I go? And you begin to grow. You grow as you reach people. You grow as you focus on someone other than yourself. And by the way, this isn't just for men. You're there in Philippians? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Sometimes ladies in our church, like our church, will say, well, you know, the men are the ones that do the preaching. And by the way, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the men are to do the preaching. You say, well, that's not popular. I don't care if it's popular. That's what the Bible says. Well, I heard, you know, Joyce Myers, I don't really care what Joyce Myers said. The Bible says that women are to keep silent in the church. That's what the Bible says. If you don't like it, take it up with God, all right? But people say, what do we get to do as women? Go to Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 3. Notice what Paul said. People say, well, Paul, he was a male chauvinist, and he said that, you know, the pastor and the bishop and the elders, that they had to be the husband of one wife, you know, and they had to be a male. And those are the qualifications that God laid on it. We believe the Bible. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what our society says. I don't care what anybody says. The Word of God says that the men are to lead, the men are to do the preaching. But listen to me, that doesn't mean that ladies are second-class citizens. Notice what the Apostle Paul said, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help. Notice what he says. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul reached so many people with the gospel of Christ. But I'm here to tell you that the Apostle Paul is going to get to heaven and he's going to get rewarded. And there's going to be a bunch of women that are with him that are getting rewarded for the work that he did. Because he said, these women, they labored with me in the gospel. And by the way, the most important thing that you can do is get someone saved. The most important thing that you can do is to bring the gospel to someone. Someone who's not saved. Someone who's on their way to hell. Someone who doesn't know how they can know for sure their sins can be forgiven, that they can be on their way to heaven. The most important thing you can do with your life is to go to them and present the gospel and tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's available for everybody. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. Now I submit to you that there will be many a soul winner who will be getting many rewards in heaven far above most pastors who never reach anyone with the gospel. So I want to encourage you this morning to get engaged through church attendance. I want to encourage you to get engaged through soul winning. Some of you have been thinking about this thing of soul winning. You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. Look, I want to encourage you to come out. We'll partner you up with someone. They'll do all the talking. You can be a silent partner for as long as you want. You just go with them and you stay quietly. You just watch them and you learn from them. You pray silently in your head and you just take part of the fellowship and you get involved and you get engaged. Because I'm here to tell you, the people that are most likely to continue, the people that are most likely to not quit, the people that are most likely to stay in this thing for a long time are those that are the most faithful to church and those that are the most faithful to soul winning. So this morning, I want to encourage you to get engaged through church attendance. I want to encourage you to get engaged through soul winning. You're there in Ephesians. I'm sorry, you're there in Philippians. Go back one book to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. You're in Philippians, just go one page back. And I understand this sermon is a little different. Like I said, I'm talking to our church family primarily this morning. But I want you to get engaged not only through church attendance. I want you to get engaged not only through soul winning. I want you to get engaged through serving. Get engaged through serving. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Now notice what he says. I want you to make note of this phrase. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible says that the ministry is work. There is work to be done. And I want to just encourage you to get engaged through the ministry of serving and volunteering. You're there in Ephesians? Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Just right before Ephesians, got the book of Galatians. Just right before, go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5:13. Notice what the Bible says. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And sometimes people get confused and say, well, I thought you guys teach that salvation is by grace through faith, that it's not of works, that I don't have to do anything to be saved. I just have to believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I'm here to tell you, that's absolutely true. We're not saying you have to work. We're not saying you have to serve. We're not saying you have to do anything to go to heaven. But here Paul says, hey, ye have been called unto liberty. You can be saved and you're free. You're not in bondage. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. But he says, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't decide, well, just because salvation is free, and just because it's by grace, and just because I don't have to do anything, and just because all I have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, and I can never lose it, it doesn't matter what I do. Just because I have liberty, don't use that as an excuse to be lazy, to sit around and do nothing. Don't use it as an excuse to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You want to know why people serve? You want to know why there's people in this church that show up an hour before the service, hey, an hour after the service, go out soul winning, drive the van, clean the buildings, do all. They're doing it because they're trying to get a home in heaven. No, they're not. They're doing it because they love Jesus Christ and they love you. Yeah. And by love, the Bible says we ought to serve one another. So I want to encourage you to serve. I want to encourage you to get involved. You got to sign up. We have one-time volunteer opportunities. Just like in the bulletin right now, we've got a work day set up on July 23rd for the men. You can sign up. That's not a year-long. We're just asking you, hey, would you give us an afternoon? Help us get some of the stuff done around here that needs to get done. You can volunteer. Some of you can volunteer maybe for a weekly commitment. You can volunteer to clean the building, to drive a van, to be an usher, whatever it is. Hey, I'm just saying, when you get involved, when you start working, when you start serving, you get engaged and you get interlocked and you get to develop some friendships. I knew what I was preaching this morning. I was thinking yesterday after soul winning, we had a couple guys go out shooting after soul winning. Had another couple guys going out and, you know, helping each other, working on their house, doing some work, remodeling on their house. We had other people going out to lunch afterwards. I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly why soul winning is so great. Because these people, they didn't even like each other when they first got here, but now they go out soul winning, they're friends, they develop friendship. You say, I don't have any friends at Verity Baptist Church. I don't understand why I don't have any friends. Maybe if you came to more services than once a month. Maybe if you got involved in a ministry. Maybe if you went out sowing. Maybe you learned to talk to someone and develop friendships, and you could continue and you could stick around long enough to where the Word of God can change your life and you can become a disciple. Let me say this about serving. Be patient with us. Sometimes people volunteer for things that we just don't have the need of for right now. Sometimes you volunteer for things and we just don't really know what you do. Look, if you've got a talent, let us know. You know, there's nothing wrong with you saying, hey, pastor, hey, just letting you know, I know how to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. If you ever need that, I don't know if you need it or not, but this is what I do. This is what I can do. If you need that help, let me know. We may not have a need for it, but we may have a need for it in the future. Now, you know, depending on what your talent is, I'm not sure when we can use it. Your talent is you can, you know, juggle dogs or something. I don't know when we can use that, but we'll keep it in mind. You know what I mean? But, you know, you ought to serve and you ought to look for opportunities to volunteer and you ought to, you know, get involved, get interlocked, get engaged. So, number one, get engaged through church attendance. Number two, get engaged through soul winning. Number three, get engaged through serving. Number four, go to Luke chapter number six. Luke chapter number six. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this point, but I feel like I need to say it, otherwise I'd be missing something. Luke chapter number 6, point number 4 is this, get engaged through giving. Get engaged through giving. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 38 says this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now some of you are thinking, here we go, I already knew this was coming. Now let me tell you something. We don't bring up money a lot at Verity Baptist Church. Those of you who have been coming here for any period of time, you know money is not something we bring up a lot. We'll bring it up throughout the year as is needed, and the scriptures talk about it. So I'm not ashamed to bring it up because the Bible talks about it. But we don't talk about it, and here's why. We don't need your money. Now, I'm not saying that in a proud way. I'm really not saying that in an arrogant way, and I hope you understand that. But if you're here this morning and you say, well, I just don't want to give money to your church, I'm here to tell you. Let me be very, very clear. We do not need your money. All right? In fact, you can come here and you can get involved in everything and say, I will never give. And we will love you. We will pray for you. We won't even be mad at you. We don't need money. Look, God is not in the ministry of begging people. The Bible says that God will supply all our needs. And you know what I'm thankful for is our church never been in need of money. God has always supplied our needs. God has always blessed us. And at Verity Baptist Church, we give away a lot of money. Everything we do here is free. We don't charge you for anything. We give you preaching CDs. They're free. Some churches, you have to pay $5 for a CD. We'll just give them to you as many as you want. We'll give you DVDs as many as you want. We have activities here. You don't have to pay for anything. Every ladies' tea, every Christmas party, everything is free. We charge for nothing, and God has taken care of us. And I'm not trying to browbeat any of you. Some of you are very giving and generous, and God has blessed us financially. We've got money. It's fine. Here's why I'm preaching it. Because there is something about becoming a disciple that you must give in order to follow Jesus. And it's really not because we need your money, but it's this. You cannot follow Christ without giving. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. And see, some of you, your heart's in the stock market and your Roth IRA. And your vehicles and your toys. And God says, hey, if you give, it shall be given unto you again. And God says, I'm going to use the same, he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, here's what God says, I will be as generous to you as you are to me. And by the way, God doesn't give back financially all the time. I'd rather give money to God and have God give health to my children and give me a good marriage and prosper me in different ways that have nothing to do with money. But some of you can get engaged through giving. And by the way, let me say this. And like I said, I'm trying to say this in the right spirit, and I hope it doesn't come out arrogant. We really don't need your money. We really don't. But let me say this. It costs money to run a ministry. That van goes out every week. Guess what? Someone has to pay for the gas in that van. Someone pays for the registration in that van. Someone pays for the insurance on that van. We pay for the insurance in this building. Someone pays for this building. Those donuts you ate this morning, someone paid for those. It costs money to run a ministry, so maybe you can get engaged through giving. So number one, get engaged through church attendance. Number two, get engaged through soul winning. Number three, get engaged through serving. Number four, get engaged through giving. Number five, get engaged through fellowship. Can you go to John just real quickly. John chapter number two. Where are you at? You're in Luke, right? So just go forward. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go forward to John. John chapter 2. Let me talk about fellowship for a while. You say, what is fellowship? Fellowship is when you get together with people, have them over for dinner, do stuff together. You kind of spend time together. You build relationships. I always have to be really careful when I talk about fellowshipping, though. So let me go ahead and give you some reasons why you should maybe not fellowship, okay? There are some, you say, well, there's times that we shouldn't fellowship with other church people. Yeah, there are. There are some times when you shouldn't fellowship with people. Let me give you a few, right? Three reasons why not to fellowship. Number one, you should not fellowship if you are trying to sell something. Amen. Let me say that again. You should not fellowship if you are trying to sell something. I'm going to say this, and if you're in this type of business, I don't know it. I can honestly stand before God right now. I don't know of anybody in our church that's in these businesses, so if you're in this, I don't know it. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I am glad that you sell Mary Kay. I am glad that you sell Kirby's Vacuums. I am glad that you sell Tupperware. I am all for your business. I'll pray for your business. I'll pray that God will grow you. I'll pray that God will increase you. But let me tell you something. Don't come to church and sell your stuff here. This is not, they told me at Amway that I should go to church and try to get everyone. Look, I know that's what they told you, but not here. You say, well, why do you believe that? Are you there in John? Go to chapter 2, look at verse 16. Notice what Jesus said. John chapter 2, verse 16. John 2:16, the Bible says this, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. This is Jesus walking into the temple, and they were selling things in the temple. And this is what Jesus said. Because remember, we're not here to make you happy. We're here to make Jesus happy. We're not seeker sensitive. We're Savior sensitive. And the Bible says, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. He said, get this out of here. He said, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. He said, do not use the church of God to try to make a profit, to try to sell money. And I'm just trying to help you understand. At Verity Baptist Church, we will never have a bookstore. You go to these churches, they've got a bookstore, they want to sell all their books, they want to sell their CDs. We will never have a bookstore. If we have books, we'll give them away. We have CDs, we'll give them away. We have DVDs, we'll give them away. Verity Baptist Church will never have a coffee shop that sells coffee. We may have a coffee shop, but it'll be free. You say, why would you do that? Because the Bible says, and Jesus said, to make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. We should not be selling things in the house of God. The only time that money should transfer from one hand to another in this church is when you're putting your offering plate to God, or your offering in the offering plate to God. That's what we believe. You say, well, most churches don't believe that. I understand that, but we're not interested in what most churches do. We're interested in what Jesus said. He said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So don't show up here and try to sell your Mary Kay or whatever it is that you're selling, whatever it is you're trying to sign people up for. And you say, well, what are you going to do if I start in here and I start trying to sell my life insurance that I'm selling and all that? Hey, we're just going to go up to you and say, take these things hence. Get out. Amen. Don't sell that here. And don't invite people to your house to try to sign them up for something. If you say, oh, pastor said to fellowship, I'm going to start inviting everybody because I want to get them all signed up on my pyramid scheme. Hey, don't do it. Just stop it. Because as soon as we hear about it, we're just going to go to you and say, hey, stop. And if you won't stop, then we're going to ask you to leave. Because here's the thing. Jesus walked into the temple. And if you read the story, he was throwing tables out. He was putting money on the floor. He was yelling. He was mad. He said, get out of here. He said, make not my Father's house of merchandise. So you say, is there ever a reason not to fellowship? Here's a reason not to fellowship if you're trying to sell something. Now look, if you say, Pastor, I sell Mary Kay, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll put you on my prayer list. So I think we've got like 8 or 9 business owners in our church. I've got a prayer list just for the business owners where I pray for the business owners that God will bless their businesses. You're selling something, let me know. I'll put on my prayer list. I'll pray for you that God will increase you, just not here. That's not why we came here. We didn't come here to hear your spill on whatever you're... We came here to hear the word of God. So you say, is there a reason why we should not fellowship? You shouldn't fellowship if you're trying to sell something. Go to Acts chapter number 20. Let me give you another reason. Acts chapter 20. You say, this sermon's kind of different. I understand that. I'm talking to a church family. That's okay. We need these sermons every once in a while. Acts chapter 20. You're there in John, just the next book over. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 20. So why should we not fellowship? Don't fellowship if you're trying to sell something. Hey, don't fellowship if you're trying to split the church. You say, that's kind of a, well, are you there in Acts chapter 20? Look at verse 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Notice what the Bible says. For I know this. This is what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. For I know this, that after my departing, he says, when I leave, shall grievous wolves enter in. Notice, among you. That's fellowship. Not sparing the flock. Now look at verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Here's why. Of your own selves. You see that? Of your own selves means we invite you over for dinner. We invite you to barbecue. We invite you to this fellowship. We want you to, you know. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Here's why. To draw away disciples after them. Do you know that people come to church just to split churches? Well, people come to church just to draw away disciples, just to enter in among them and spare not the flock. And you say, well, Pastor, you really think if someone's here trying to split the church, they're going to listen to you saying not to fellowship? They're not. But for those of you that aren't trying to split the church, let me just give you some advice. Someone invites you out, and they're just fellowshipping. They're having a good time. Hey, praise the Lord for it. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to fellowship. One of the big reasons of church is to fellowship. But someone invites you out to dinner or something, and they start undermining the church. They start bad-mouthing the pastor. They start making statements like this. If I were the pastor, you know. Well, if I was in charge. They start exalting themselves to a position that they've never been given. Hey, I just want to tell you, you ought to just put the brakes on that and say, yeah, I'm not really interested in this. You ought to tell someone. You ought to tell me. You ought to tell somebody and say, hey, you know, I'm not trying to say anything, but this guy, this lady, they invited us over and they were just talking. They were just kind of sounding like they weren't really part of us. They look like us, but I think they might have been wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm just here to tell you that that's part of church ministry. I'm trying to train you and help you understand. That doesn't mean that everybody that comes to our church agrees on everything that we believe. We understand that. Not everybody agrees 100% on everything. That's fine. We can disagree. But look, if people come in here and they start exalting themselves and saying, well, you know, if I led the church, hey, you want to be careful with that. Because even Paul, one of the greatest leaders, said, I know that wolves are going to come in and they're going to draw away disciples. So, reasons not to fellowship if you're trying to sell something. Reasons not to fellowship if you're trying to split the church. Yeah, not fellowship. I appreciate that. Reasons not to fellowship if your house is dirty. I'm just throwing that out there, all right? Your house is dirty, don't invite people over, okay? Or clean up your house at least, all right? Go to Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Say, do you really have to say that? Yes, I do. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. Acts 2:42. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching. That's preaching. That's they're being taught. But they not only continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Notice, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You will develop friendships as you fellowship. And we want you to fellowship. And you ought to fellowship. You ought to spend time together. You ought to have people over. You ought to have, you know, that's a good thing. And by the way, you'll develop friendships as you apply the 4 previous points. The more you come to church, the more likely you are to develop friendship. The more you go soul winning, the more you serve, the more you give. As you do those things, you'll begin to develop fellowship and friendships, and you'll start to get to know people. You'll invite people over for dinner, and they'll invite you for dinner. And that's all great. We want you to interlock. We want you to get engaged. We want you to get connected. You will develop friendships as you, let me say this. You ought to come to church early. Show up early. See, I don't have any friends. You show up 5 minutes after the service starts, you leave during the last song, and you wonder why nobody talks to you. Show up early. Shake someone's hand. Get to talk to someone. Get to know them. Say, what's your name? You will develop friendships as you're friendly. The Bible says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So you got to show up early. I'm just trying to help our church family. I'm trying to help you continue, stay steadfast, stay in it. Some of you, you're doing these things, and I praise the Lord for it. Some of you, you used to do these things. You used to come to the evening services. You used to go soul winning. You used to serve. You used to give. I'm trying to encourage you that we need your help. Because if we're going to reach more people, we need you to serve so that we can minister to those people. Do you understand that? If we're going to reach more people, we need you to go soul winning so that we can go reach those people. If we're going to develop disciples, we need you to give because it's going to cost more money. It's going to cost more money to have more vans, to have bigger buildings, to do the things that we need to do, have more invitations, give out more Bibles, give out more DVDs, give out more. We're going to need more money. We need you to give. We need you to get involved. We need you to be here to help us greet the guests and be an exciting church. We need you to be here during the singing service and sing out and be excited. We need your help in order to do what God has called us to do, which is to develop disciples. But guess what? When you get involved and when you get engaged, you will begin to develop as a disciple. And you'll begin to grow. For those of you that are engaged, I want to thank you. And I want to encourage you. Let me say this, just in closing. Like I said, I'm primarily talking to the church family this morning. But I want to encourage you to be faithful, even through the summer. I know it's summer. I know it's hot. And you guys are going to go on vacations. And let me tell you something. I want you to go on vacations. I want you to spend time with the family. I want you to do those things. And those are great things. And I'm excited for you. But listen to me. Be faithful even through the summer. You know that you can go to church even on vacation? You know that you can go, you know, if Pastor Jimenez is not here for a church service, I want you to know this. If I'm not here for a church service, I will be in church somewhere. If I'm not here on a Saturday, I will go soul winning somewhere. Do you know you can read your Bible on vacation? You know that you can pray on vacation? You know that you can give even when you're on vacation? That's what I don't understand. Some people get this idea like, I give when I'm here, but if I'm gone, then what, you get to keep that money? I don't understand. If it belongs to God, I'm just trying to help you. Hey, be faithful. During your vacation, be faithful. I know it's nice weather out there. I get it. But be faithful. Let me talk to the leaders real quickly. Those of you that are leaders, keep your commitments. None of you that are in leadership got to leadership without me having a talk with you, which said the only reason that I'm letting you usher, the only reason that I'm letting you lead the music, the only reason that I'm having you be a personal worker, the only reason that we're allowing you to take a leadership position of visibility is because you come to all three services and you go soul winning. And I understand you're going to get sick and you're going to go out of town, and that's fine, I get that. But you start developing these habits of not being a soul winner and not being in church attendance, we're going to love you, we're going to pray for you, we're not going to be mad at you, but we're going to ask you to step down because I have no interest in having leaders at Verity Baptist Church that are not engaged in soul winning and church attendance. And you know, you read your Bible, you pray, that's between you and God, but I can see these things, whether you're in church or whether you're soul winning. And that's not a surprise to any of you because we gave you a form and we talked to you and we said, this is what's expected from you. So I'm trying to encourage you. Be faithful to your commitments. Be faithful to soul winning. Be faithful to the things that you've committed to do. Get engaged. Help us. Summer is a time to get busy because the fall is coming. And you either sow in the summer and reap in the fall, or you waste your time in the summer and you beg in the fall. Right now, we're not really trying to have big days. We're not really trying to get big crowds. We're just trying to be faithful. We're trying to be soul winners. We're trying to do what God has called us to do. You take your vacation. I'm thankful. I'm glad for it. I'll pray for you. I'm excited for you. But be faithful because harvest is coming. Fall is coming. And people are going to get back to school. They're going to get back to church. They're going to get back, and we're going to need your help to reach them, to love them, to pray for them, to minister to them. So I'm just talking to our church family this morning. Get engaged. You say, how can I get engaged? Church attendance, soul winning, serving, giving, fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly